Best Leaves Clues podcast with Robin Bailey and Al McDonald. Have you ever wondered what makes someone successful? What are they doing that's different? How do they achieve greatness? We believe that success leaves clues. In this series, we are interviewing very successful people from different walks of life to hear their stories. We'd like to remind our listeners that the views expressed in this podcast are those of our guests and not necessarily those shared by our hosts. Today's episode is sponsored by Life and Legacy Advisory Group. Discover our commitment to our clients. At Life and Legacy, building wealth, securing your family's future, giving back, and creating a lasting legacy are not just values, but a way of life. Let us guide you toward a future aligned with what matters most to you. We're also brought to you by Aria Benefits. If you're a business leader challenged with talent attraction, employee engagement, or supporting mental health, we can help. Use your benefits package as the key to unlock your workforce. Now here's your hosts, Robin Bailey and Al McDonald.
Welcome back to the Success Leaves Clues podcast. It's Podcast Friday, my favorite day of the week, and I'm very lucky. I've got my favorite co-host, my only co-host, but also my business partner, not my only business partner. I've got another business partner as well, who's pretty great too. Al McDonald is joining us. Al, what are you saying these days?
Well, seeing as I'm your only co-host, it's pretty low bar, so I'm glad I at least met that.
Couldn't do it without you. Well, I suppose I could, but then I wouldn't have a co-host. So anyway, Al, you've heard me say this before, and listeners have heard me say this before. One of the best things, and it was a little bit of a surprise with the podcast, was all the friendships and relationships that we've made over the years and doing the show and having great conversations. And one of those is a lady named Cindy Diogo Kushiba. And if you go to her LinkedIn profile, you will see something that you're not going to see pretty much in any other profile. And it's maker of the world's best lasagna. And that is why I connected with her in the first place. And she's since become a friend and a great center of influence because she gave us some great introductions recently. And that's why we're here today. And we're thrilled to have Blaine Kumar with us. And Blaine is a three-time founder in the immigration sector, driven by a powerful mission to make Canada an achievable dream for countless people around the world. Blaine, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, Blaine, when we first chatted, we shared stories back and forth. I let you know my parents were new immigrants to the country and everything that came along with that struggle. But eventually Canada was very, very good to them. And I will be internally grateful that they brought me here. But I enjoyed our first conversation so much. I just really want to dive into it because I think you have a very, very powerful why. So maybe you can talk to us or start to talk to us about what drew you to the immigration sector and maybe tie in your why, because I think that's a really good story that others would like to hear.
Basically, what got me into the immigration sector was my mom taught immigration. And at the time, I wasn't in immigration myself. And one day she mentioned, she's like, hey, this is maybe 14 years ago. She's like, you know, there's businesses out there that need help with finding people globally around the world and they need help filling labor gaps. So literally I thought of, how do I do this? I wrote, put together a script, came up with a name, and basically started to cold call the next couple of days. And within my first couple hours of doing that, I actually booked a few meetings and with reasonable companies. I was like, okay, this is interesting. And that's how I got into immigration, started off. And then throughout my experience, trying to help people relocate, come to Canada with jobs, of course, making sure we're doing things in an ethical, good stance. And I've been noticing a lot of problems, a lot of challenges throughout. And 2015, 2016, we went and rebranded to Bright Immigration from Bright Recruitment. And now we wanted to help people understand their options, provide ethical advice. And of course, since then, I've been licensed and supported people. And that's one of the aspects. And throughout building and keep building on trying to solve problems in this space, we got into technology solutions. And looking back at this, another big reason of why, you know, what's a big driving force for me now is it was a bit of a eureka moment I had last year when I realized that what I am building and what I've built already and what I'm working on is essentially ensuring that deception in immigration isn't here anymore and that we limit the deception that happens. And I, during my eureka moment, I realized that my ancestors, who are, my mom's from Trinidad and Tobago, and my father's from the Fiji Islands, but we're Indian descent. My great-great and my great-great-great grandparents were from India. And I realized that their journey was on the basis of fairly aggressive level of deception. At the very end of slavery, as sugarcane fields needed to still be worked and manned, and the British were in India at the time and convinced our ancestors to come to these places for better job opportunities and they'll be able to return home or even maybe get land. And of course, that wasn't the case. They were essentially kept there, enslaved pretty much under indentured labor, which was essentially enslavement because they never really got paid. And that's how my ancestors ended up in these countries. So I realized that looking back, well, wait a second, like subconsciously I've been doing this and now I feel it in my bones and I feel it throughout my cells and I feel it throughout my entire body and it resonates with me now. So yeah, I'm driving from a source of passion. So it feels really great to do that. And I'm really passionate about really making immigration a much more ethical, better place for all and make global mobility a healthier place because it's riddled with scams and bad players and bad characters. It's riddled. I would say it's even more aggressive than the financial industry.
Well, it doesn't take too long in having a conversation with you to realize you are passionate about this business. And it was a bit alarming to me because when you were sharing your story and we go back in time, you realize, oh, all these things were happening and you know, terrible things in history. And luckily, as we progress, you hope things are getting better. But when you talk about helping people ethically, are there still these issues going on when people are trying to make a better life and come to somewhere like Canada? Are they still facing those challenges maybe in a different way they did in the past? Because that was something I wouldn't have any radar on.
Well, the answer is yes, there is. The reason I'm having a hesitation is where do I start? Almost in every aspect of the immigration space is there's a level of neither a miscommunication or not a truthful understanding down to just straight up not being honest. So it just depends on how we look at it. So are we talking about the individual who's being convinced by someone else that they have a chance and to give them money and then nothing ever happens? Or are we talking about the way that immigration professionals and lawyers sometimes do consultations without providing the whole truth and just kind of stopping it at halfway sometimes just for the sake of money? Are you eligible to apply? Yeah, sure, you're eligible to apply. You know, you could be an 80-year-old, 300-pound, barely walk and apply to become a police officer. The question is will you actually become a police officer? So again, there's an ethical aspect in terms of advice giving. There's also the expectation. So when I give advice, we try to determine a 3 or 4 year window because that's how long it really takes. But I always say, hey, that's assuming it doesn't change, right? And for those who are in the immigration space, they know it changes very frequently and we're seeing a ton now. Over a 4 or 5 year period, you could pretty much count, you could bet on the fact that there probably would, or there will be a change, especially in some areas in immigration. So to answer your question, Robin, it's a huge area. And even like job expectations, people believe that, oh, I'll come to Canada, I'll get a job, I'll be able to make a lot of money. You know, I could take loans out, I won't have a problem, I could pay it off. Canadian dollar is very good versus our dollar. And then they realize the cost of living is really high. And so there is a communication issue as well, an expectation. So as you could see, there is, no matter how we look at it, sometimes it's directed, it's called deception, like purposeful, and sometimes it isn't. Sometimes it's not meant to be, but we're branding ourselves as something that's probably not entirely true all the time. So there's a lot to tackle, but nowadays with technology, with people in the space, with how much data we have and everything that's going on, I see why we can't create a better environment now.
Blaine, can you talk a little bit about the entrepreneurial viewpoint as it relates to immigration, because it's not something that I would have ever really thought about. So can you maybe walk us through a little bit about specifically what you do, how you can help people, again, from the business point of view? I think most people would probably think of immigration more as a government type of approach. So maybe just walk us through that and help me understand what it is you do, how you help people, again, from the entrepreneurial point of view.
Yeah. So from the, I guess, the business perspective, what we do is we're in the business of ensuring that people understand what their options are, how do they immigrate to Canada, what their chances are, what's the strengths and weaknesses. That's essentially what we're doing. So we're doing that. We're helping organizations stay compliant, better support their employees who are going through really stressed out times. And they're working and trying to figure out, can I do this on my own or I'm going to hire someone? No, they're a lot cheaper. But sometimes, you know, they may not be the most ethical or honest and people don't know that. So there's that whole side. So our business, the entrepreneurial side of this is there's a whole service industry around helping immigrants navigate through immigration, making sure to put forth a strong and good application, figure out the weaknesses to make sure it's strong. So that's what we do in the business is first consult, help people understand their options, and then we walk them through that immigration pathway. And we have a technology platform that does that incredibly well. And it does it at a very low, in many cases, free. It doesn't matter where you are in the world, no matter how much money you have. A lot of people take loans out on their properties, by the way. That's how they get here. So, and that's usually generational properties. So, you know, they're risking a lot. So with our platform, you know, whether you're overseas or you got to figure out, at least we kind of tell you what the deal is, down to your international student or you graduated, you've been working at a company for a couple of years. We have technology to help support the company and you in trying to get optimized towards your permanent residence goal as well. So that's what we do from the entrepreneurial side. And we have other technologies as well, but those are the main areas that we focus in on to address this issue.
Okay. So with that in mind, then, now that we've set the landscape a little bit, can you talk maybe about some unique challenges you've encountered in the immigration sector and maybe how you've overcome them?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. The challenges. So I'll be quite frank. I think immigration consultants and lawyers, especially those who have good whole hearts, this is the most stressful job in the world, I believe. I had conversations with chief oncologists before, and we've kind of had these discussions about it. But I do believe it's the most stressful because you're dealing with a very vulnerable population that's trusted someone to deliver a service where there is no government sympathy, really. You make a little mistake somewhere, that could be the end of someone's life in terms of their status. Now, not to mention most people who are using our services have been in Canada for 4 or 5 years. So the biggest challenge we have is A, making sure we're delivering a very high quality of service. So that's one aspect that we're doing. But some of the big challenges that I had, especially early on, was to know who's, I had a little bit more trust in people than I realized. So, you know, I'm dealing with someone who's even a teacher at a college who teaches immigration, and they did some incredibly not good things. I came across a person who is a member of the Law Society who pretended to be a lawyer to practice immigration and through due diligence found out that it wasn't. And we had to attack them on that side. And as you can tell, I'm passionate. So I don't let people get away with things too easily in this space. So we had to go through that. And that was a challenge. So that was a big challenge, is learning who to really trust in this space. And that's why in our business model, we're very careful of who we work with. You can work with agents overseas, you can work with so many players, but you don't know what they're telling, you don't know what's going on. So to answer your question, the challenges I've had was who to trust. How do I overcome it? Is through experience, asking correct questions and getting to know them and taking it easy and working your way up.
That's got to be incredibly frustrating, I would think, in terms of dealing or thinking you're dealing with someone who, like you say, is already in the industry, has supposedly the credentials, you know, and you think that this is someone that, again, you can lean on and trust. So I would think it'd be quite easy to become jaded, right? And not just frustrated, but lose a little bit of faith. Like as a person, so I'm not talking about as an entrepreneur and I've got experience, I learned how to trust, but just as a person, like how do you deal with that constant challenge? And I'm sure it has to be constant.
Yeah, absolutely. It is constant. And you're seeing things where you're disappointed very regularly, you know, in this space. So am I jagged? No, I'm not jagged. I'm just a realist now. And I understand things more. And if anyone asks me, what do I think about immigration? If I was a minister, I'd actually be stricter and lenient at the same time. What I mean is I would be much stricter on a lot of things, but I would actually double up the numbers. The reason why I would say that is because there is a lot of gaps that are happening in immigration that are, again, it's the data misalignment. So am I jagged? No, I'm just more of a realist now. But it is something that I do think about and I'm mindful of to make sure, like, hey, am I truly supporting? And it goes back to, I think that if we adequately really help people and assess and we're honest about it, if the systems were more integrable and more transparent and throughout the whole scheme of things, then everything would be a much better environment for us. So in terms of being jagged, I don't think I am, but I'm definitely, I have a ton of experience. I've consulted probably well over 10,000 people now. And they're all different types of immigration files who call me, all different things I've heard. Sometimes I hear people who literally tell me these are fake documents, but I don't necessarily get angry at them. Like they're trying to find a better life and better opportunity, right? I hear people who paid a lot of money to someone who promised a job and they got them here, but they're not actually working. So you hear these things, but you realize just A, how good people are just misled. And also how in order for immigration to truly work, we have to figure that out. So instead of being jagged, I'm trying to solve it.
I didn't know we would end up going down this path, but I'm glad we are for a number of reasons. And number one, I want to ask you, because I think it's really important as entrepreneurs, employees, whatever you're doing in life, if it's related to work, if it's related to your personal life, you're in a particularly stressful industry, as we just heard.
Right.
How are you outside of that, Blaine? How are you going about protecting your own physical, emotional, and mental health? Because I think that's really important, and I don't think we talk about that enough. So I'd love for you to share just maybe what's working for you.
Yeah, I don't think we have enough time in a month to cover this topic, to be frank, so I'll sum it down. Well, luckily, and through the grace of the universe, I'm incredibly passionate now. I wanted to quit this industry for a very long time. I love immigration, love being able to contribute to legacies and generations, and my grandparents tells me a story of how he came, and my mom was young, and my dad told me how they came, and I remember the school reports. And it's not Blaine, it's the bright immigrant, or it's improved, or whatever it is, that's there. But I wanted to be part of that. But what keeps me going, A, it's experience, to be quite frank, of going through the sleepless nights when there was a mistake made and figure out how to do it. And, you know, still having to figure out how to keep your lights on, because I'll tell you, when you're really honest in immigration, it's not the easiest to make money, right? Like, you're turning away a lot of business, whereas other people often could take. So how do I manage that stress though? Spirituality plays a big role. I do have two Blaines. Blaine today at this moment is very driven and very focused in terms of supporting and living his purpose and delivering his purpose. But Blaine tomorrow is someone who could accept whatever happens, and he's at complete peace because he understands the world is way more than this and there's way more to it. So I've been very lucky to been able to find certain levels of clarity and emotions and love, not emotions, but a connectivity, I guess. It's really hard to explain, but if anyone listens to someone named Sadhguru, for example, he expresses a feeling in meditative states where you cry of just ecstasy. I've gotten to that point now, and I'm incredibly grateful, and it's changed my life. So now I feel like, am I taking great care of myself? Not entirely, I won't lie, but I'm mindful of it. I also am setting up certain parameters to keep me safe. There's a great book I recommend. I always get the title wrong, but Dale Carnegie, I say How Not to Worry, but I think there's more words than that. But he wrote a book about how not to worry. It's back, I don't know, in the 50s or 60s, I think. And he had something called stop loss, right? So you got to set up a stop loss like you do when you're trading stocks. And I have a stop loss in what I'm doing. And either way, it's working now. It's going to be fine. I know it's going to work out. But I have a stop loss too. So I know I have that set up. If that answers your question, that's how I deal with it, is knowing that there's more to life than this.
And again, I didn't expect to go down this path, but out of 215 episodes so far, you're the first to talk about a stop loss. So I'm glad we did. And I think there's, at least I hope, there's future conversations for us, because you've got a very interesting approach. I want to go back for a second though, because you talked about you have a technology that aids in this whole process. How has technology impacted your industry? Has it made it easier? What's the advantage, and where do you see that going with as technology continues to develop?
Yeah, you know, the whole scary world of AI and is it going to hurt us or not? AI is really going to take a good shot at immigration, though, meaning on a negative stance, if I were to be direct. Let me start negative first. There's companies in Asia right now who are pretending to be bright immigration right now as we speak. And I can't really do much to prevent or stop that right now, at least. And that's without this AI. Like, even me taking videos of this stuff, I'm worried that there's going to be someone who's going to make a fake video of me and start going and doing that. So where do I think of technology in this space? It could get very scary very quick. Negative side. Positive side is a phenomenal opportunity, which we're immediately jumping into, where we're getting an understanding of data, understanding how immigration works and all of the pieces, and putting it together to provide knowledge and streamline. So, like, it's never been easier to translate things. So, you know, now you could easily get out to almost every language. You could even get down to even very specific languages. Like, India has several languages, right? Not just Hindi and other languages, but they have a lot of, and there's millions of people who speak those languages. So you could get boiled down there. So imagine someone who's overseas, who wishes to come to Canada, doesn't speak much English. They're about to get scammed, but, you know, our platform in their language could tell them. So that's one area. Other areas is connecting labor market information. So there's a ton of stuff. There is no industry like immigration that I've identified that exists in the world in what it does. So I call it, it may not always be the best thing, but I call it the 25-year-old baby, right? There's no industry in the world where you could get a 25-year-old baby. What I mean by that, or 21-year-old, or, you know, you get my gif, but picking someone up, taking them and dropping them into Canada. There's nothing like that that exists, right? Where you have someone who's complete purchasing decisions. Where are they living? What job are they getting? How do they navigate cultures? It is a lot to ask. And one of the things I've recently started to recognize that I've been really trying to preach ahead is we need to treat immigration and integration with the same idea and the same thought process and power that we treat AI and quantum computing and cold fusion and all of that. I haven't really identified a country that's actually really done immigration really well, especially at a large scale. And we have to attack this as that side. And immigration is really important. Canada's going to be a huge stop. When we talk about climate change, what countries are going to be, I wouldn't say okay, but better off than many is Canada and Russia, right? So immigration is going to play a massive role. It does help. Like, you know, I know we have some news about bringing down immigration, but fundamentally it worked, right? Which was reversing our demographic trend. It did work and it does work really well. So how do I see tech is two sides, scary because we got to make sure it's honest, integrable. On the flip side, there is a tremendous opportunity to bring real life immigration, right, based on labor demands and opportunities, relocations from integration values. So I see it as a big problem, like, well, I say a problem as a big task like quantum in that arena. And that's how I look at it as. So if we could spend a fraction of the money we spend on those things on this, if we could put as much brain power to it, this is actually, I believe, one of the biggest challenges for society to solve.
Well, I think you've talked about everyone's worries, and I think that spans industries across the board, is AI technology. It can be used for good or it can be used for bad.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you've got some of those same concerns. You made a nice segue actually into what I wanted to ask about next, because you already started talking about the future. So I want to get your viewpoint on where you see Canada's immigration landscape evolving in the coming years, and maybe talk a little bit about the opportunities or challenges that you anticipate.
Yeah, absolutely. Immigration is going to do really well as long as there's a job market and job demand for it. I am on the camp that I do think AI and robotics is going to have more impact on the jobs than we realize. But then again, it may not. But it's going to heavily depend on the job market, obviously the tax base. So that's going to drive a lot of that. Otherwise, if it was before AI and tech, I would say we're going. Like, we got to go. We're going to move. I just don't know what the labor market's going to look like. So the future of immigration, however, is really positive. I think Canada is the leading country in immigration. Unfortunately, I don't think we did a great job of it. And we kind of, I guess, in other words, screwed the pooch a little bit on it. Like, we have to be very mindful that countries learn from each other. And they're like, hey, you know what? You do that. We'll see how it goes for you, especially Canada. Mm-hmm. But Canada led in this immigration conversation. So where do I see the future of it is we need to get much better, and we have to have a full successful end from the time they travel all the way here, far better integrated experience, better matching, better expectation settings, better training, in other words, right? Like, why aren't we training folks or educating folks on some cultural differences, like before they get here, right? How come settlement agencies that are government funded aren't utilized nearly as much as they should be? Well, like, it's quite small, especially considering how much they spend, which is, they're all trying. So the future of immigration, it is bright. It's one of the key levers for countries to grow. And I think the future is just going to be better at integration, better at smarter immigration systems in place. But then there's a lot of people who are looking for global citizenship ideas, right? Like, be able to move around freely and not have to deal with that. So I guess there's a lot of room for innovation in this space, and we'll see how it turns out.
Now, Blaine, if we haven't scared people off by now, and they're still here and they're still thinking this is resonating and like, yes, that's what I want to do. I have that same passion. I want to help people as well. If some younger people who are looking to get into your industry, what are the skills, you know, what are the things that they should be doing, even around mindset, to say, I'm going to be successful in this space?
Right. I'll be frank. I advise people not to do my job, quite frankly, just because of the level of stress it requires, right? Like, it's just, there's so many easier ways to make a living, to be quite frank, right? So many easier ways. And money can't solve immigration problems So, okay, so I'll tell you again, I'm not trying to scare them away. So let's bring them in. If they have a passion, but they really want to help people, it's a phenomenal place to do it in. Now, mind you, I'm in the legal side. There's so many other ways you could support people that aren't nearly as stressful. You know, there's ways to volunteer settlement agencies, for example. You get into that line, social work. There's research you could do. There's psychology. There's a lot of opportunities for psychology and immigration, I believe. There's a lot of areas you could get involved because, as I said earlier, it's a whole thing, right? So even if you wanted to support people with getting the rental properties, building that, there are solutions there. A lot of landlords still won't rent to people who can't prove a credit history. I personally rent to folks because I know immigration and it's worked incredibly well. So there's a lot of ways you could help because it's a full circle, and just identify what you're about. And also, you know, money should come second. In this industry, I feel similarly when it comes to healthcare. I feel similarly when it comes to some types of education, not all, some education, you should be more money driven, but some no. And I do believe some industries just aren't necessarily ripe to be money driven first. It should be a symptom, not the focus. So just be mindful that if you really want to be passionate in this space, that you still could make great money, you could still find good opportunities, but you shouldn't be leading the first foot forward on that idea first. Because then you're going to have guys like me come along and compete with it, because at the end of the day, the heart will win and the mind will win, not the financial pockets.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like this whole podcast episode, you've been answering Al's signature question that we ask every guest. But Al, you know, I'd still love to take it away because there's so much gold in this episode. And I just feel there's probably at least another couple more nuggets if we ask Blaine.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to change it up a little bit based on something he said at the very beginning. But Blaine, here we go. A society grows great when old persons plant trees in whose shade they will never sit. So here's the curveball I'm going to throw at you a little bit, because you talked about your, and I don't know how many greats were in there, you know, great, great, great grandparents that came over and what they had to do to put you where you are. So they planted some trees many, many generations ago, and they're not sitting in that shade of that tree, but you are. So maybe you can talk about, you know, in your work across the immigration sector, you're impacting countless lives in future. So what proverbial trees are you planting that will shape the future for immigrants and communities that they will see across Canada?
Great question. First is, there is no right or wrong answer in life. So even though our history came out from not a great place, I'm here. You know, my mom's here. Our family's done well. Like, we're here. We could have easily been not in a good place either. So there is no right or wrong answer. Sometimes something wrong leads to something amazing, and something right could lead to something bad. So I think no one does answer your question, but that's something I would like to state because I think it's important for folks to know about this. But I guess what proverbial tree and what I'm planting is a healthier immigration systems for everyone to enjoy. We have a charity called Brighter Together, and this charity was built with the idea of immigrants who found success giving back to Canada by supporting other charities in Canada fund projects. And it's been, you know, a bootstrap project we've been working on and funding, but the essence of it is very true. We want immigration to be healthy and a true win, and we want integration to happen, and we want that. So the proverbial tree we're planting is for a healthier immigration system, so we could have more and better immigration, inspire more neighbors, more development of our generations. I was born in Canada, so I'm a great example of what happens when immigrants come and have kids here, for example. So I think that's what we're doing, is a healthier immigration system is a healthier world. That's for sure. And we're planting the seeds in different ways, using creativity, using technology and resources that we hope will last for generations and be part of many kids' school projects.
Well, that's great. And I'm sure that there are going to be a lot of people in the future that are going to enjoy the shade of the trees you're planting. Why don't you share the name of the charity again? I'm sure some people will be very interested in that.
It's brightertogether.ca, brighter together. So the domain's .ca.
Perfect. Thank you.
We'll get a link in the show notes when this episode goes out as well. And I just want to get it on the record that Blaine and I had such a fun conversation the first time. I learned that his mom was from Trinidad. And so we started talking about our favorites, you know, of the Caribbean. Callaloo soup came up. And I'm going to get it recorded here that Blaine has said when his mom is making callaloo soup, I'm getting an invite down. So yeah, you can play this for your mom and I'd be happy to have a chat with her and just say, yes, this is how I got my invite here. for listeners interested in learning more about what you're doing, Blaine, what's the best way to reach out?
They can find me on LinkedIn, Blaine Coomer, and we have a couple of companies, but that's probably the easiest way to find me is on LinkedIn.
All right, awesome. This has been a ton of fun. Cindy, thank you so much for a great introduction. You're the best, and I'm so glad we're friends. Well, that does it for today's episode. We really enjoyed this conversation. As always, we hope you did too. If you have any questions for Al or myself, please feel free to give us a call or join the conversation on LinkedIn. We've seen it yet again. Success leaves clues, my friends. We'll see you next time.